The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Today, the show is all about spiritual things. First up is Tony Samara, a spiritual teacher and author of 4 books. He was born in England, grew up in Egypt and Norway, where he discovered Zen Buddhist philosophy. And he's going to share with us in the first half of the hour what he does. Then Dr. Maury D. Pressman, Emeritus Chairman of Psychiatry at the Albert Einstein Medical Center of Philadelphia and Emeritus Clinical Professor of Psychiatry at Temple Medical School, will talk to us about his book, Living in the Supermind. He has a practice that focuses on spiritual psychotherapy and the exploration of the human soul. He studied the potential of the human mind and soul, exploring the connections between traditional psychiatry and holistic spiritual psychotherapy. He created a program in 1972 for Olympic ice skaters using hypnosis and visualization. We'll hear from him in the second half, but let's talk now to Tony Samara. Listeners, we are privileged today to meet a man that I have been hearing about, and I wanted to know more about him, and I finally was able to arrange an interview with him. This is Tony Samara, so welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show.
Thank you.
I have a little bit of information about what you do, but the listeners do not. So can you explain to them what it is that you do?
Okay, it's difficult to put into words, but I'll do my best.
All right.
Basically, I work with energy transmission. So in a practical way, this means connecting everyone who works with me or is drawn to understand this type of spiritual transformation in a way that connects the mind back home to the heart. So energy transmission is basically opening your heart to receiving the abundance and the beauty that is everywhere present in the universe when you're open and able to receive this. So it's not me doing anything. Basically, I wouldn't say, you know, I'm sending energy to people, but more, it could be better described as I'm helping to, unblock certain aspects that may be creating a barrier for the heart to be open to receiving. And I work in different ways with the mind, with the emotions, with whatever it is that seems to be creating a veil to what I feel is beautiful and present in every unique human being, that is love that lives in the heart.
Mm-hmm. And this work that you do, were you called to do it? Were you just born with the gift and the talent? How did it come about?
Yeah, I'm told I was born with it by my parents and by people who knew me at a very young age. But it has been a journey. And in the beginning, it wasn't really something that I wanted to do. I just wanted to be doing what all young teenagers enjoy doing, and that's living life in that sort of interesting way that teenagers enjoy. But I ended up really looking more deeply into myself through meditation, spending a few years at a Zen monastery under the guidance of a Zen master, learning what it means to let go of the mundane and come back to the more profound aspects of oneself at a very, very young age. So my journey began there. You know, on a conscious level, I understood that my path was slightly different than what I saw around me. This is what I've been doing all my life. Mm-hmm. I haven't done anything else. So this is all I know, really.
For me, when I was called to do the work that I do, it just wouldn't leave me alone until I finally said, okay, yes, I'll do this. Was that the same for you?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I wanted to do so many things. I'm interested in everything. I'm interested in poetry. I'm interested in literature, in business, in politics, in culture. And, you know, I have a fascination to learn everything, but I found that I couldn't do that because my focus needed to be somewhere else, and I didn't really understand where that somewhere else was until working with the Zen master and going to that part of myself that is not so easily described in words, and that is what I call the heart.
For me, I found when I'm not in the flow of where I need to be, that often I get physically sick, which stops me and puts me back on my back for me to get back in where I'm supposed to be. Is that true for you and people you work with?
Very much so, because I never wanted to be a spiritual master or to stand there in front of people and be seen as something. I much preferred being in the background and just observing how life is and enjoying things in a way without being there, as I have ended up being today, in the world, you know, in different places. I was not very comfortable with speaking in public, in a lecture room, you know, with hundreds of people. That it was never my dream, you know. But I just, there was no way that I could avoid my destiny. And whatever I did, I just ended up back to that point where the universe or the God or the divine or the higher intelligence, the higher aspect of self was guiding me back to where I needed to be. And in the end, you know, when you're pushed in that way, gently and sometimes not so gently, you just accept. You say, okay, I just accept my destiny, and that's why I'm here, you know. Like a painter accepts that art is beautiful and continues painting, like a opera singer, you know, is fascinated by music and continues to investigate what that means through sound. You know, I had no choice, and I have no choice, and I like to have no choice. I like to do what I'm doing now, and I really enjoy working with people, and I never thought that would be the case, you know, many, many years ago.
For me, I believe that before we came to this lifetime, that we accepted the mission that we're living out, and even though we might not consciously be aware of it at the time, but once we recognize what our mission is and accept that, it's kind of like, oh yeah, the veil is released, and you go, oh yeah, I see how that connects. Okay, So is that true for you too?
I think it's for everyone. You know, we are here to explore many things, but in the end, we're here to come back home to why we came here in the first place. And I think some people never accept their destiny, and so end up struggling and feeling pain and suffering. And some people just are born into some situation, and they continue living out their life in that way where, you know, they're meant to do what they're doing. For me, it was a struggle because I prefer to be humble and to be gentle. I'm not the person that wants to be out there and leading people, which I don't, but, you know, so there was a struggle inside of me, and I didn't understand spirituality. You know, I needed concrete, real experience. And so I didn't want to just speak about spirituality. I wanted to know what it means. And this is why I ended up in the Zen monastery going deeper. You know, I didn't want to speak about meditation. I wanted to experience what is meditation. Before explaining this to others, I have to know and understand that there is some value to going deeper to that part and not just philosophizing about it or dreaming about it or hoping that it will happen. You know, what does it mean to be spiritual and alive and fully conscious in whatever you're doing in this moment? And that became my drive, you know, in the spiritual environment that I was in. That was easy because I had the support of a Zen master. I had the support of many, many wise people around me. And I just went for it, mm-hmm. totally. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, I didn't even know that I was following my destiny. I didn't at that time know that I was following my destiny because it was so full in itself of so many experiences that there was no time to look back. I do this now because I'm speaking about my past. And so you look back and you see how things have flowed and how they've fallen into place and you see the bigger picture. But, you know, when I was 17, 18, I was right there living life to the full in meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know how you handle this, but when I get a message or a clear picture of what I know somebody needs to do to be on their path, but they may not be open to it, I have a hard time sometimes keeping that to myself. And I wonder if you experience that and how you handle that.
You mean with others or with myself?
With others.
Yeah, with others. I tend to use humor.
Okay.
Because I find that when the solar plexus diaphragm area relaxes, and, you know, when you laugh, I'm not good at making, you know, jokes, but I use humor in a very gentle, interesting way. And, you know, when people laugh and see that things aren't so serious and they're not so dramatic or intense as the mind or the feelings believe them to be at that point and can just relax, then I think the message is heard better. And so I don't say anything, and I don't struggle with people and say, look, this is what you're meant to do. I just play a little bit like a child with everything and all the aspects of that person's life and say, you know, interesting to look at it this way, in a gentle sort of but clear way. And I find that that helps people, you know. It helps people to find the answer within themselves. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I don't say anything.
Right.
It seems to the people that, I've just realized what I'm meant to do. And I've just had a revelation and I will go out there and do this and change my life by, you know, putting into action certain things. And it's great. Mm-hmm. I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a psychotherapist, when I work with people, sometimes I will just know things and they won't have told me the things and they'll say, how do you know that? And it's like, oops,
yes.
I just had it told to me. So I have to, like you're saying, I have to think about it and hold on to it until they're ready to hear it, until they can
exactly.
discover it for themselves. So
exactly. And I think it's intuition. You know, once mm-hmm. you open up this way, mm-hmm. people begin to communicate beyond their limited simple belief systems. You know, for example, in family you're told you're not good enough or whatever, and you played out the victim role. You know, if you listen to the deeper sense that is behind that, there is always a message, because no one is a victim, no one is that program that they've believed themselves to be.
Right. We need to take a break, Tony, so let's
yes.
stop at this point and take a break.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness. Are you or is someone you know struggling with life? Do you know that your subconscious beliefs play a big role in the outcome of your hard work? We can help you to permanently change your beliefs that may not be in alignment with your goals. We care about getting you a return on your investment. We can help you reach your goals easily and quickly.
contact us at BeliefMantra.com. That's BeliefMantra.com.
I don't want to be fat.
Listen every week to this groundbreaking program with your host, Marcus Aurelius. If you want to live healthier but can't seem to fit it into your schedule or don't know where to begin, this is the show for you. We'll talk about diets, why they are important, and why they are dangerous. We'll find out how, as you age, how you exercise, and the lifestyle you adopt can affect your overall health. We'll also talk about food and supplements. I Don't Want to Be Fat can be heard every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We're talking with Tony Samara, spiritual teacher and author of four books, Shaman's Wisdom, From the Heart, Different Yet the Same, and Deeper Than Words. Let's hear more of what he has to say. I'm back here with Tony Samara, and we're talking about the work that he does. And before the break, we were talking about the sense of intuition and victim role. So you want to say more about that?
Yes. You know, I believe that every human being has a beautiful light inside of their depth. And just by living in the world, sometimes that light is dimmed a little bit. And that leads to, you know, a lot of suffering. People feel sad or end up playing out victim roles or getting depressed about life or giving up the hope that it is even possible to find happiness in this moment, in the beauty that is all around us. And for me, I feel that intuition and a deeper connection to our essence transforms not just the way we think and old belief systems, but also our sense of expansion and our sense of being, so that we function in a totally new way. And it's difficult to explain this to people who are suffering, because of course then the reality is what you're feeling in that moment, you know, the pain and the suffering. And so my work is utilizing certain mystical techniques that were shared in ancient times by mystics such as Kabir and Rumi, and bringing that into a practical everyday meaning for people, how to use these intuitive deeper sides of ourselves to find the answers, so that we feel that life is supporting us and connecting us to something higher, more than just simple old belief systems.
Mm-hmm. And I think that when people have things happen to them, you can either look at it as, oh dear, I'm a victim, or you can look at it as, okay, I can take from this experience some kind of lesson I can learn and apply it to what has already happened in my life and become better from it.
Exactly. And I feel, you know, when you're positive inside, when you're an optimist, mm-hmm. you know, when you don't give up, when you don't feel that life is just not kind to you or treating you in a bad way, if you maintain that sense of equilibrium inside, it's easier to open one's vision to what is possible. And then when you see what is possible, you manifest what is possible in different ways. You know, everyone can manifest that in different ways. But the main thing that happens is that we believe in our dream. We don't give up on our dream. And I think looking today at the news and how people live their life and just society in general, I think many people have given up their dream mm-hmm. and just surviving. Mm-hmm. And it's not fair because we are more, and this is what drives me to keep working with many, many people, that, you know, living one's dream means that we honor everyone's dream, and it's such a great thing when many people live out their dream rather than just survive and say, okay, this is life, whatever, you know. It's so sad, you know, I don't see that in children, you know, they're so excited when they discover new things in the garden or whatever. And I like that excitement, whatever age is, whatever their belief system, their culture, their religion. I think that sense of aliveness is one of the main aspects of my work.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And for me, when I go inside, when I meditate and get quiet, things just become so clearer. And my intention and the path of what I need to do is just very clear and plain. But we don't often stop long enough to do that. We're just helter-skelter, hither and yon, doing this, doing that, and not taking the time to rest right or to eat right or to think right. And I think we have to stop in order to get back to where we need to be.
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes people wait too long, mm-hmm. and wait for the situation to remind them what is valuable and what is important. And some people believe that, you know, taking time means doing less.
Right.
But I think it's not always that way. You know, I work more now than I ever did, you know, ever. And, you know, it's not about doing less, it's about doing things with a sense of connectedness, mm-hmm. and realizing that, you know, the dream feeds your life, and the dream of being alive and the dream of living your potential, living your destiny supports you in an incredible way. But if you go against it, then everything is a struggle and everything's like work.
Mm-hmm.
For me, meditation is a joy. You know, it's like sleeping, it's like eating, it's like going out and in the sun and enjoying, you know, the warmth of spring. You know, it's a need that is not from desire, but it's a need that makes you human.
Yes.
You know, it makes you more human.
How do you support your work? Because doing what you're supposed to do is so satisfying, but you got to eat, you got to pay the bills. How do you do that?
Yeah, that's a difficult one. I've struggled with that for many years. And, you know, and it's difficult because people believe that, you know, you can't charge for spiritual work, like teaching meditation. You know, it's not spiritual to charge for it. They forget that I support, you know, many people. I support a whole structure and a whole situation. But, you know, it's in our Western culture to have this problem with money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not East, you know, where, you know, the monks go out and, you know, it's a joy to give to the monks because you receive blessings and, you know, it's everyone is queuing up to give. Here, you know, there's that feeling of, oh, I'm not sure. And so in the end, I gave up charging, you know, too much for what I do. And basically created wealth for myself because, you know, I was born into a family that understood business. So besides teaching, you know, I was doing all sorts of things to support people here. And I suppose I've been lucky, you know, and created a little bit of money that supports this whole place here where I am and the books and the traveling in a way that wouldn't have been possible simply charging. Now, you know, people recognize something and there are patrons who support me, you know, via donations, and it keeps the work going. And I just trust that, you know, if there is money, we use it to bring more happiness to the world in whatever way. You know, we have like many projects, people going to Japan to work with the situation there after the nuclear disaster. We have situations where bees are encouraged to flourish. We support people through scholarships. many things, you know, and the more people give, the more we give, and it's...
Right. It keeps the flow going.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's difficult. You say, you know, people want to be spiritual and support themselves through spiritual activity. And I feel if it's right, that there is always a way, and it doesn't always have to be that way that you believe it to be. You know, not everyone has to go out there and teach meditation. There are so many interesting and unique possibilities that we can explore, and we have to be creative. You know, we can be spiritual with children. We can be spiritual with people who are suffering in hospital. We can, in prisoners, you know, we can be spiritual with mothers, you know, at school, with business people, teaching them, you know, certain techniques of relaxation. There's so many possibilities, and I think one has to just be creative,
mm-hmm.
and then it will flow.
Yes, and sometimes you have to be patient, because for me right now, it's like an onion being peeled of what I'm supposed to do to bring in the income, but it's not here yet, but I know it's coming. And I just have to keep doing one foot in front of the other, the right thing, and it eventually
yes.
will all come. And it's very hard to be patient.
Exactly, but I think it's wise to be patient and to do what you know is right to do.
Yes.
And not to give up and say, well, and, you know, to be creative, because sometimes, you know, life is saying, okay, do this, but do this.
Right. Right.
You know, don't forget to do this.
Right. And you think, how are they connected? How will that get me over there? But you just follow what you know you're supposed to do, and it will work out.
Exactly.
So tell the listeners where they can get your books.
Yes, basically on Amazon.
Okay.
I think that's the easiest place, because in the US there is the Amazon.com, and the UK there's Amazon.co.uk and Canada.ca. And you just put in Tony Samara, and there are many books out there already published, and we're hoping to publish a few more in the next month. Also on iTunes and YouTube and the website, of course, TonySamara.org, that there's a lot of resources for free.
Well, this has been extremely helpful and very informative, but the time went by too quickly, so we'll just have to have you come back at another time. Would that be all right?
Thank you. Yes, wonderful. Thank you. And I hope your listeners really enjoyed our talk, because I feel it's important to live one's dream. So I hope I've helped in that way.
I believe you have, and blessings on the work that you do. Thank you so much.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Have you figured out what's not working in your sex life? Could you use a little help? Join your host, Tamaran, for Let's Figure It Out Intimately. Tamaran has had both highs and lows in her sex life. She uses her experiences to teach you some basic techniques on how to create more fun, intimacy, and pleasure. Her guests also come from the sexual health and wellness industry. And together, Tamaran and her guests will help you get the sex life you've always longed for. Let's Figure It Out Intimately airs live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792.
or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We talked with Tony Samara, spiritual teacher, and now we're going to talk to Dr. Maury D. Pressman, who's a psychiatrist and an author of two books, Visions from the Soul and Living in the Supermind. He's going to educate us just to what the supermind is. And the best way to remember how to spell his first name, to find him on his website, he said, think of Maurice, but leave out the C. So, Maury, welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show.
Thank you very much.
I'm very pleased to have you here to enlighten us as to what is the supermind.
Supermind is what it says. It's the mind above mind. It is the great mind. It is the divine mind that we all contain with enormous powers for good and otherwise, hidden from us by ourselves in ways that I can demonstrate, and very much available, largely through meditation. But I want to say a word or two about meditation, having just listened to your very inspiring previous speaker. May I do that?
Yes, definitely.
I think meditation is very simple. It's made complex by many, many techniques. The simple thing really is to let yourself look inside instead of outside, to let yourself get quiet, and to stop doubting the messages which come within. I can be more specific about that, but each person is individual. Each person has his own way or her own way of getting to that quiet place inside, which then does open up the mind to the higher mind, which is a cosmic mind, a divine mind, which surrounds us and which is also deep within us. And we can talk about that more.
Okay, so what you're equating the supermind is what some people would call God or spirit or cosmos or source.
All those things, yes, God, but, you know, God in the all-encompassing sense. Everybody's God.
Yes, but that connection exists between and inside of all of us.
Yes, and furthermore, it's validated nowadays by quantum physics of all things. It's spoken of in the ancient mysteries. It's really the core, C-O-R-E, of all religions. And it is within the personality, but covered over by certain doubting mechanisms that we have been taught.
Yes.
And when it is uncovered, there is a natural buoyancy, a natural tendency to float up of the better part of the person called the soul into the supermind.
And do children naturally go there before we limit them and confine them?
Yes, I think so. That's why children are so easy to love. So they emanate, they vibrate so much of our basic Gaia energy until, you know, until it's been spoiled out of them.
Yes.
By society.
Yes. Or we put them in these little parameters of what you can and cannot do, and oh, that's just your vivid imagination. You didn't really talk to God, or you didn't see that or know that.
I can give an example.
Yes, please do.
First of all, my wife has always had a spiritual bent, and for decades and decades I've been a rather stiff-necked academician, you might say. When we married and had our first child, she died on the table. But they revived her. During that time, she had a typical near-death experience. This was decades and decades ago. She found herself on the ceiling, looking at the body, saying, why don't they leave her alone? She's so tired. She was with the stars. She had an entity with her and felt completely at peace. But then she began to feel sorry for the young husband that she had and the child. And she came back into her body. At the time, I said, oh, dear, you had a chemical psychosis. That's what I was taught.
Right.
I never forgot that, but years later when I was ready, I remembered that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not exactly the story that I wanted to point to. The fact is, when she was 4 years old, she was close to her grandmother. Her grandmother died. Rosalie went up to heaven to meet her grandmother and talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she came back and she kept a special place in her bed next to her so that grandmother could be there if she wished.
Mm-hmm.
When Rosalie's mother came into the room and saw her crowding into the corner of her bed, she told her not to do that. She mustn't do that. She needed the whole bed. But, you know, but grandmother needs it. Oh, that's just your imagination. Now, Rosalie had a good mother, but her contact with the powers of the supermind, which did allow her to see and be with her grandmother who had passed, was really squelched. So there's that natural tendency that children have to know that is really called imagination and disparaged generally in our society.
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah, I'm one of those children that had a ghost friend that went with me till I went to kindergarten. And I feel the presence of spirits, and it used to be a frightening thing, but now that I understand and do more meditation, it's a very natural thing, and I just ask, what am I supposed to do? What's the message? Rather than closing it off, the more that you relax and let it flow, the more that it can be beneficial for everybody involved.
It sounds like you have and always have had natural, easy access. I'm not one of those, by the way. Mine was little step by little step, but over a long period of time, you know, I've gotten to a certain height, you might say.
Well, I, like your wife, you know, was told it's just your imaginary friend, and then grew up in a Baptist kind of situation where all that sort of thing was a no-no. And then I had two near-death experiences myself, and within a millisecond, I was different. And better, more free, more open. And it has just erased time for me and helped me to understand the purpose of being here is for me to show those who are not loved that they are lovable and they are loved. And if I do that, that's all I have to do.
Great. Being lovable is our natural state.
You know, you say in your book that the soul is like a double-faced radar dish.
Yes.
Am I saying that correctly? What do you mean by that?
Well, that's part of a longer explanation. I'll try to make it brief.
Okay.
I'll refer to the book because the book has a plan of creation and return. And it begins with this, that if we go deep inside of a human cell with an electron microscope, we can do this. We ultimately come to the electron, which is really a wave of energy, which means that we are essentially energy, a field of energy. The creator, the great creator, is all around. When the great creator decided to create, put it in our terms, he, she, it moved, and the energy floated down through seven planes, each plane becoming less and less powerful, therefore more and more bearable. The fourth plane I call the soul, as differentiated from the spirit being the creator. And the soul is like a double-faced radar dish. It receives from above and transmits to the below, to the brain, in fact. That's what we call getting inspired messages. And the brain then transmits to, or the soul creates from itself, lower planes of energy, one called the mind body, the next called the emotional or dream body, and the last called the physical body, namely us, which becomes enlivened by a live body.
All right, Maury, let's take a break at this point, and then I want to come back and expand more on that, okay?
Okay.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Like 30 million other Americans, I have interstitial cystitis, a chronic inflammatory disease that feels like a bladder infection or prostatitis for men. Desert Harvest Concentrated Aloe Vera helps. It appears to give analgesic properties while coating the bladder. It's the only one that has a phase one trial. It's whole process, whole leaf, and extremely concentrated. Go to DesertHarvest.com to order or call 1-800-222-3901. Tell them Dr. Melanie sent you. 1-800-222-3901.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Dr. Maury Pressman is telling us what the supermind is. I'm learning new things. Are you? Let's find out some more. So, Maury, go back and kind of back up a little bit and tell us what you were discussing before the break about the different levels and the soul and all that.
Okay. All of that becomes very practical, frankly. Anywhere that I've read, I haven't been able to find the difference between the spirit and the soul. This is the way I've elaborated it. In any case, when you go into meditation, what you do is take attention away from the physical body by making it so comfortable that it really doesn't exist to your attention. And you do the same thing with your emotions. You let them calm down so that you're at peace. The same thing with mind chatter or distraction. And then you get into that area of silence. It's a blissful, peaceful kind of silence, as you've well described. And that is the residence of the soul. That's where the double-faced radar dish exists.
Ah.
It opens into the cosmic mind, the great mind. And that's where you get your inspiration from. I call it double face because I do think our experiences on Earth teach the angels and the entities above as well. This Earth plane is the plane where we learn and transmit.
What opened your mind up from being, you know, a strict kind of practical medical professional to being very open and well versed in spiritual things?
Well, I was always I was raised in a conservative family, but I was always a bad boy, so to speak. I didn't listen. That's the way I was in my training. I got the best training I could, but I didn't adhere to everything that was said. So I wanted to become a training analyst, a teaching analyst, and I was good enough, but there was always something that I was asking too many questions. That was a lucky part of the plan, by the way, because if I had become a training analyst, I wouldn't be able to get into this new area, which is even the higher part of the mind, the higher, deeper part. What happened really was that for decades I was very academic. My wife had these spiritual experiences, so that I went out to California with her to make some discoveries. And I did what's now called holotropic breath work,
Right. I've done that. Yes.
I had the feeling that I was being breech birthed. They were pulling me down by my feet. And I knew that was dumb because my face was so ugly from forceps, they wouldn't show me to my mother for a while.
Hmm.
However, when I went home and asked Dad, do you remember anything that happened to me during my birth? He said, my mother having passed, he said, do I? You had a hell of a time. You came out feet first.
Hmm.
Well, that really struck me because for the first time, I began to feel certain compulsions and to do certain things, to learn certain things. And I was thrown in the company of some of the best spiritual scientific minds around. Elmer Green, who is one of the founders of biofeedback. I had an experience with Muktananda, a great guru from the East. All sorts of things began to open, which really opened, what shall I say, not only my heart, but my curiosity to these larger areas which really do stand for the one thing, and that is to create a universal brotherhood, sisterhood of humankind. I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it added so much. I do conventional psychotherapy now, but I not only add in these new powers that we have, but show people how they are experiencing them.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, for example, how past lives are not only real, but how they are influencing our lives now.
Oh, yes.
So,
yes.
Anyhow, for me, it was a gradual process and a great epiphany when I had that experience with Groff and then with Muktananda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've read Groff, some of his work, and Muktananda said in your book, we are all part of a hologram of souls. What did he mean by that?
Oh, the hologram is a wonderful, wonderful concept. Everybody who's been to Disney World has seen the three-dimensional ghost that you can walk through.
Uh-huh.
Or the three-dimensional image on a credit card. A hologram
yes.
is made in such a way that if you break the plate in half and project light through it, you'll get two whole images, not two half images.
Hmm.
And the same thing, if you break it into 100 parts, you'll get 100 images. That is the way everything in the universe, including us, is built. And
mm-hmm.
it has tremendous implications because it means that everything is connected to everything else.
Right.
It means that each part of us contains the other. And
yes.
it's contained in the other. So you can use that as an understanding of the hologram of the soul. The soul is holographic. It
mm-hmm.
is part of the all, part of God. It contains everything, including the mind, the personality, including the us, which is part of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
The hologram is so important to keep in mind. And again, it's one of those parts of quantum physics which validates the ancient teachings or the core of all religions.
Mm-hmm.
And goodness in people.
Mm-hmm. And before Constantine, reincarnation was something that was an accepted concept, but that was removed during that time. So
yeah.
religions today don't accept that many times. But what another thing you spoke about in your book is, see if I pronounce this right, orgonomy. What is that?
Wilhelm Reich, is that what you're talking about? R-E-I-C-H?
Yes.
Wilhelm
yes.
Reich was one of the first psychoanalysts, a brilliant guy, and he was recognized as such, but he began to study the body and the electricity within the body.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really the one who's the basis for all these body works.
I see.
Wilhelm Reich, he went far enough to discover that there's such a thing as what he called an orgone, which is a unit of energy. And it's very much like prana, P-R-A-N-A,
mm-hmm.
or the universal energy that that both is contained within us and contains us, the stuff that we breathe in order to have energy.
Mm-hmm.
So orgonomy is really the science which Wilhelm Reich has started, and it's very consistent with all these spiritual studies that we're talking about.
Okay. And when you do psychotherapy, you do spiritual psychotherapy. How is that spiritual psychotherapy different from traditional psychotherapy?
Well, traditional psychotherapy is very important because what Freud discovered was not only that there's an inner part of us which runs us, of which we're unaware, but which we can discover, but it also teaches about ways in which we look away from ourselves, keep ourselves ignorant of ourselves. However, Freud thought that the limit of our capacity was to love another person and to do work well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he rejected Jung because he thought Jung was too religious.
Oh.
On the other hand, Jung was reaching into these higher, deeper parts of the mind that we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I do conventional psychotherapy, but I find that people are very, very available to the higher concepts that we're talking about right now.
Yes.
And most especially to their intuition, which you were talking about so well with your previous guest. And I'd like mm-hmm. to talk about that also some mm-hmm. because it's so important. In
okay.
any case, intuition leads us to a perception and reception of these higher messages. The way to get to we all have intuition, every one of us. We're crowded out by doubt. We're taught to think of it as only imagination. When I talked about getting into the realm of the soul through silence, you're really opening your intuition to the cosmic mind. Things are coming through. Intuition is felt commonly as a hunch
mm-hmm.
or as an aha experience when you know things are right. In your case, you have it very liberally, as you described it. It comes to you easily.
Mm-hmm.
You know and you hear what's the thing that you are being told to do. So intuition is really an opening to the higher mind, a higher knowing which you can receive or get into by getting into the quiet self, listening to your hunches, and then putting them to practical use.
Okay, Maury, we are running out of time, unfortunately. I'd like to be in a timeless space, but we're not that place. So how can people get more information about you?
By going to my website, which is Maury Pressman, M-A-U-R-I-E, Pressman, P-R-E-S-S-M-A-N.com. You'll find my 3 books there. You'll find my telephone number. I hope you'll call me. And, you know, I'll be glad to talk to you without charge.
Okay.
And
well,
I also have an email, which you're free to use.
All right. Well, it's time for us to wrap it up. But thank you very much for being a guest on my show today.
Thank you very, very much for the opportunity.
Okay. Now it's time for us to wrap it up. If you want to reach Tony Samara, go to tonysamara.org. And as Dr. Pressman said, go to Maury, M-A-U-R-I, Pressman.com. Next week, we're going to have Eric Pearl from Reconnective Healing back on. We're also going to learn about tech trends, animal behavior, and how to live with arthritis, a jam-packed show. Go to my website, along with 3,000 other people that go during the week, to see what's available. Go to the drmelanieshow.com. Remember, to help yourself, help someone else. Until next week, goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.